I'll sing, and if you can hear me, then
sing. No, that's good, it's good. I won't take it off. I'd have to take my shirt off, and that's just wrong. Okay, we'll start again at the beginning as though nothing happened. What a great book Hebrews has been, hasn't it? So much theology in it. You know, that huge comparisons between the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, the sheep and the goats, and comparing it to the wonderful sacrifice that Jesus gave us once for all. The priesthood in the Old Testament, the priesthood of Aaron, and comparing that and seeing that Jesus is this magnificent priest who always intercedes for us. He's always there. It's great, isn't it? And we really get the Jewish system and we realise that Jesus is so much better than that and we shouldn't go back to it. Got a big question though. Who here was planning this week to sacrifice a sheep or a bull? It's not our thing, is it? Maybe in our society we're more likely to worship angels because we're a bit freaky in the West. But we probably didn't want to do that either. No one got up and said good morning to Gabriel. No, we put our... You did. No, you didn't. We put our trust in Jesus. So the question is, why is this helpful to us? I want to tell you, I was camping once. I was sitting down in my really comfy chair and out of the beautiful sunset came this silhouette and shadow towards me holding a cup of tea. And all I could see was the outline and the darkness. And then she came with the cup of tea, Ali, and I could see the fullness of how beautiful she is. I know, it's gorgeous. Now, even though I couldn't see all the details, it was still all true. In the shadow of Ali, and the cup of tea was delicious. I couldn't see all the details, but it was all true. But when she came out of the dark and into the light, I could see the richness of her. We have the truth in the Old Testament. It's the richest truth that we have. God's spoken clearly through his prophets. He even sent messengers, angels, to speak. And that is nowhere near as good as the truth that we have in Jesus. And you might have your own truths and understandings. You might have something that you feel is from God. Maybe like Buddha under his tree, you've come to some deep realization. This book is saying to you, whatever you think you know, the truth that's revealed in Jesus and the salvation that comes in Jesus is it. It is the only way and it is the best way to relate with God. So don't turn to what is less. Put your trust in Jesus. And it gets to this huge point that warns you to stick with him, and it says this, for our God is a consuming fire. It's big, isn't it? Our God's a consuming fire. What's he going to say now? Now that we're at this point, what is he going to say? Is he going to say, so go and be a missionary to Bangladesh because they need Jesus, up you go? Is he going to say, like to the rich young ruler, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me? What is this magnificent thing? Wow, lucky it's here. Let brotherly love continue. It's huge. I want you to look at these people here. In light of everything that Jesus has done, that's who you have to love. You might not even like them. Chances are you don't. No, just joking. You're lovely. You have to love them. You have to show it practically and you have to show it often. Let it continue. Keep it happening. That means you have to be hospitable to each other and to strangers. Probably they won't be angels, but they might be, this says. Now, when Omar, who was their SIM missionary, came here and he said about this being mission being global, but we've got lots of people from around the world here in Mittagong Barrel. So you should show love to them. I thought, okay, this is crazy. They won't even want to. Whatever, I'll have a go. So I was down at Woolies. Lady behind the counter is a Maori. We got chatting. So would you like to come round for tea sometime? Her face lit up. I found out about her grandkids. You know, I found out about her husband over here. She can't wait. She hasn't come yet. Maybe I'll tell you about it later. She's coming in January or February sometime. You should show hospitality to strangers in light of what Jesus has done. In fact, what I'm about to tell you seems like mundane thing after mundane thing that I'm going to tell you. This is what happens in your life because of the wonderful work of Jesus. So, remember those, this is verse 3, who are in prison as though you're in prison with them. And those who are mistreated. You're supposed to keep praying for the persecuted Christians, people who have given up their life and their liberty. Now, I want you to imagine your grandkid or your child or your wife, husband, whatever, was in prison 3 weeks down the track. I am so tired of praying for them. Can't I just get on with life? No, you just keep praying. You'd be passionate in it. And that's what you're supposed to do. You are supposed to keep praying for those people. Now, this is going to be fun. Number 4, have a look at verse 4. Let marriage be held in honour among you all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulteress. That's what God expects from us. Now, because I was going to be talking about how we've moved from the old truths and we've got the best truth in Jesus, I went to my grandpa's old, like it's like bits and pieces, Wordsworth, Keats, quotes, and I thought I'd find this wonderful bit of deep knowledge that I would share with you all, and then I'd say, Jesus is better. That's what I was going to do. But in this is contained all sorts of little verses mocking women. Thanks, Grandpa. They like to shop. They like to gossip. They like to whinge. They're great verses. They're hilarious. I'm not sharing any. And don't steal it from me. Okay. Christians somehow think that we're allowed to do that, that we're allowed to mock our spouse, our husband or our wife. We are supposed to hold marriage in honour. If you mock your wife, stop it, in light of everything that God's done. When I was a young, newly married man, I was sweet to Ali at home, well, manly sweet, to Ali at home, but we would go out and I would tease her and I would insult her. I thought it was hilarious. One day my younger brother came up to me. He said, if you ever talk to your wife like that again in public, I'm going to punch you in your face. I'm so glad he did it. Praise the Lord. He didn't punch me. I'm faster. But that's the point, isn't it? That if someone's doing that, you need to stop it. It is wrong, husbands. And wives never, ever mock their husbands when they get together with the girls, do they? Ali was at a church party once and all the women were going on about man flu, you know, men. And they're all talking about it. She came home, oh, I didn't say anything about you. And I believe her. But that night, I had food poisoning. I was in bed, wriggling around. Finally, I said to her, honey, I've just got to go to the hospital. And I reckon she was listening to those girls. She thought, oh, the whinger. She rolled over, good on ya. She went back to sleep, got the call the next morning. He's on the drip. I really do think it affected the way that she thought about me. Because I'm not a man flu kind of bloke. I just whimper in peace and quiet. You're not supposed to do that with each other, women. You are not supposed to put your husbands down in public. Marriage being held in honour is more than that. It's got to do with the way you are at home. My dad used to say, the most godly thing you might do today is the dishes. Husbands, if you get home tired from work and you're slack, that is not honouring marriage. That is not laying down your life for your wife. You need to be part of that team. Even if you're tired, even if you're depressed, you're part of that team and you need to do your bit. What about having an affair? Some of us might be contemplating it or having one. That's wrong. It doesn't matter if it makes you feel good, if it feels right. It doesn't matter if your friend says you deserve it. That is not what you are to do in light of who Jesus is, that he's taken your sin. You are not to do that. Before you're married, you're not to have sex. You are to wait till you have sex with the person that you're going to get married to. You are to keep yourself pure, just like Jesus is keeping you pure. He has suffered too much for you to go and do that. You be patient and you live for Jesus. It's great stuff, isn't it? At a church maybe three churches ago, there was this couple. They certainly honoured the marriage bed. They had 11 kids. And they would sit like bookends with all their kids in the centre until they realised that they are who God has joined together, and let no one, nor 11 of them, put you asunder, right? You need to make time for your spouse and you need to make their life rich, okay? That's honouring marriage among you. Well, that's a very short verse, but a lot of explanation. I think it has a huge impact in our society, doesn't it, the way that we look at marriage? And I encourage you to live a Christian life in your married life and as you're prepared for it, or in your singleness. And, of course, porn. Don't do porn. It's important. Verse 5. We're Australians. Listen to this. This is the Australian dream. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. You don't have to keep upgrading your life, your stuff. Be content. Do you know, I think it's got to do with trust. I think it's got to do with trust that we just don't trust that God is enough for us. That we need stuff in its place. We need our super. We also need our super. We need our pension. We need our income. We need our nice house. The nicer car we have, the more people will love us. You know, that's how Australians are trained to think by TV, isn't it? It's not true. Keep your life from love of money. It doesn't make your life richer. Do you know what you buy money with? Life. You give up your life to buy money. It's not that greater exchange. Give your life to Jesus. Okay? Trust him. He is everything you need. Now, you're going to like verse 7. It's nice and easy. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to the word of God, to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Do your quiet time in the morning and pray. Watch their lives. Listen to their teaching. That's easy. Uh-oh, verse 17. Keep turning. Obey your leaders and submit to them. for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And let them do this. This one's just for a couple of you. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage. But for the rest of us, I reckon we think of our ministers as though they're politicians. And if you're not happy, you get on the phone, you give them a quick earful and send them an email and just tell them what you don't like. That is not what we do in light of everything what Jesus has done for us. We obey them and we submit to them. Do you know they are not accountable to you? They are accountable to God. He will hold them accountable. Your job is to pray for them, submit to them, obey them as they share God's word with you and submit to it. Now, if they sin, like with any other Christian, you might get an elder from the church or something and you go and talk to them and you tell them, this is sin and I think there's something wrong here, you need to change. But other than that, the Bible's so clear there, isn't it, how you're to behave with them. I strongly encourage you to do that. You're doing that to the Lord. You're submitting to them to the Lord. They're not allowed to make you submit to them. It's like, you know, where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. I can't go over to Ali and say, Ali, submit. She doesn't do it because I tell her to. She just does it to the Lord because she loves and trusts him. Because he wants her and she's given her life to him. She chooses to. And if she doesn't choose to, I don't tell her, baby. I don't tell her. That's between her and the Lord. Of course, this is also between you and the Lord, but he'll hold you accountable for you. Hey, isn't it fantastic? There is someone else we don't vote in. You know, when you make Jesus your Lord, you don't make Jesus your Lord. He is Lord of the universe. He made it. You just acknowledge something that is true. You come to the realization that he is Lord and you submit yourself to him. All right? So when we come to this, you're not voting for him like for the Prime Minister. Oh, you get my vote, Jesus. You're so good. Actually, the truth is, our God is a consuming fire, right? And he is Lord. And because of that, we do these things, which means we will be different from the rest of society. When Hebrews talks about it in these verses 12 to 14, how Jesus suffered and went outside the camp, they're talking very Jewishly. The book is called Hebrews after all. But for us, when we submit to him as Lord, we will be different from our friends and our workmates. We will be. And we may be rejected. And yet we're called to that. And here's the thing to remember. This isn't home. Even your lovely home isn't home. We will one day be with him in heaven. Okay, he is building for us an everlasting city. So you don't set your hopes here anymore. Okay, you're looking forward to glory. You realise, like, this is a very preachy part of the... I'm not really the preachy kind of person, but here we go. This is the preachy part of the Bible. I'm so glad. What's the bits of life that we ruin? Our marriages, our community life, our church life, how we deal with our money. Here is the point, though, in verses 12 and 13. Jesus just didn't die on the cross and get beaten and killed for you. He actually took your sin into himself. He's perfect. He hates sin. He's never sinned himself. And yet he takes your sin and pays the punishment and the shame for it. Which means that we want to live a life that shows our gratitude for the forgiveness that he's given to us. Which means we want God to keep transforming us and our marriages and the way we love and the things we look at and the way we treat people. That's what we want. God wants us to be priests, drawing people to himself. He wants people to be able to look at our lives and our marriages. And he wants that to draw them to him. And he wants us to have good theology so that when people have questions, we can answer them and draw them to himself. That's what he wants for his people. So this is what I want you to do. Well, this is what whoever wrote it, we don't know, wants you to do. He wants you to keep being good. Isn't that exhausting? How would you even have the strength to keep being good? I can't even get to breakfast and want to keep being... No, sorry, that's not true. I have a very early breakfast. Which is why this benediction is so important. Look at verse 20. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. He cleanses you and then he strengthens you to live for him. It's what he calls us to. Just before I close, if you've been sinning in any of those ways, you bag out your wife, you're unfaithful, you don't love the people in your community, just take a moment before we pray to think about those things and repent. You do need to change. You might need to talk to someone. You certainly need to talk to the Lord. And then I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you've done for us in Jesus, that he is the perfect sacrifice for our sin, that he's taken our sin into himself, that we don't have to bear any guilt or any shame. Father, please transform our hearts and our minds, the way that we live and the way that we think. Help us to be good friends, to be loving to the people in our church. Please help us to remember those who are suffering persecution. Lord, I pray for people in here whose married lives are hard. I pray that you will strengthen them to live for you in their marriages. Lord, we do also pray for our leaders. We do pray that they will joyfully serve and teach us. And Father, we pray that you will equip us with everything good so that we can do your will. And that you'll work in us that which is pleasing in your sight. And we give praise to Jesus. Amen.